Welcome to Not Another Marketing Podcast, where I'm talking to Corey Northcutt, the founder of boutique SEO agency Northcutt.com. Now, we're talking technical SEO and Google's new ranking factors called Core Web Vitals. Honestly, it's really exciting. It is. Thanks for downloading. Technical SEO can be a little bit technical, right? Especially now that Google have said that they're going to be using what they call Core Web Vitals signals as ranking factors from May 2021. Now, Web Vitals can confuse seasoned web developers. So what we're going to try and do is explain things in normal speak. Now, joining me is Corey Northcutt. He's a 17-year SEO veteran. He's currently running the show at boutique SEO agency Northcutt, which you can find at northcutt.com. That's NORTHCUTT.com. Can I quickly mention that Not Another Marketing Podcast is totally ad-free. I'd love it if you could give the pod a quick shout on social media and subscribe via your podcast app. You can check out all the links and more podcasts at jtid.co.uk/podcasts. Now, the first thing that I asked Corey was if it was true that Google is now treating every website as a mobile-only website.
Yeah, so mobile has always been a pretty big deal, but until fairly recently with mobile first, and now with other announcements this year, it's looking more and more like mobile is everything, right? These mobile devices are ubiquitous in our lives, and to not have the mobile experience completely streamlined, to have content that might not be visible, and you know, that was common practice for a number of years. Some people would cut some content because it takes longer to render, it might not look very good on a mobile device. That is beginning to hurt people if they don't plan for mobile first, as it is in name, coming from Google.
So it's kind of Google identifying that most people now are looking at websites on a mobile phone. So we need to make sure that the websites we put in the search rankings are the best websites that work on mobile phones. That would that be right?
I would say so.
Now, next May, I think it is, they're confusing everybody a little bit more by launching something called Core Web Vitals or Core Vital Web Zores. I don't know. And it's a little bit confusing. Does it really matter? Do we really need to pay attention to this Core Web Vitals thing or not?
Within reason, right? So we've got a lot of metrics that have existed for a long time. When anyone does performance optimization for a website, the measure isn't just how fast is your website, right? There's a lot of specific metrics that developers and network administrators might look to, where, you know, you've got latency, which is how fast can I get to the server and back. You've got your first contentful paint, so how soon can I see something on the page? You've got your largest contentful paint, so how soon can I see everything painted on the page that could be visual? You've got your first input delay. So how long before I can click my mouse? You run into an issue where a lot of dynamic behavior on a website might not allow that to happen. And the metric that has been much more talked about this year, it existed in other performance tools in the past, I think under different names, but cumulative layout shift becomes a thing too. After the page renders, do things jump around? Which is generally not a good user experience. And there's a few different things that can cause that. So they're all good things to think about. I don't see a lot of websites that do anything perfect, but they should at least be in the, I guess, the good range, as Core Web Vitals flags it.
Okay, let's go through these quickly and figure out exactly what it really means to a business owner or an agency and that. So the one thing is the largest contentful paint. It's LCP. I mean, they could have picked a better phrase for it. What on earth does that mean? I mean, that to normal folk.
Yeah, and the goal is the largest contentful paint. So all of the visual experience is loaded within 2.5 seconds. And that is in harmony with what we've heard out of Google spokespeople for, the past decade, really, of your website should load between 2 to 3 seconds. I think Matt Cutts said that back when he still worked at Google.
Yeah.
So in that way, I don't think that has really changed, but we are getting better tools, and I think Google is getting more serious about it now.
So does this mean that our entire page needs to load up in less than 2.5 seconds?
Ideally, yeah. So there are always scripts that may not be visual, things that are still happening behind the scenes. So you can, if you're a developer, you have the opportunity to reference what they call libraries. So you've got style sheets, which are visually how the page appears. You've also got scripts, which are just functions and things that are dynamic behavior. You can defer that loading. And I don't think that goes into a contentful paint if it's not visual. So it isn't necessarily it being 100% loaded, at least as I understand it. And I could be wrong on that. I know that Google defines it as loading performance, but they have a tendency to oversimplify in just about everything that they give webmasters, and probably more good than bad comes of that. But most of the page being completely loaded, specifically the things you can see.
So we're talking about, when we talk about the visuals, we obviously talk about the images, the buttons, the text on the page, the things that people actually see and read. But say further down the page, you've got a mortgage calculator, for example. Right. You could set up your web page to display all the text and all the pictures instantaneously within that 2.5 seconds, and then maybe load the mortgage calculator a little bit later.
Right. So my understanding, and again, I could be wrong on how they're measuring this because I've not been intimately familiar with it just yet, but what you refer to there would be lazy loading of, yeah, I guess, the visual elements as it's defined. And lazy loading's good. You don't want to load everything initially. And I think that would be the first contentful paint of what do you see initially? Well, not the images that are lower on the page. We won't load those until we need them. But the largest contentful paint becomes everything. So at its maximum, how much are we loading on this page?
So the angle is, let's try and get our web pages, let's try and simplify our web pages a little bit. So maybe get rid of all those HD video backgrounds that loop round and round and round, and the 86 images on the slider. You know, let's get rid of that, and let's just simplify everything, because most people are looking at your web page on a tiny little screen with fingerprints and last night's dinner all over it, and that's what they're looking at.
Yep.
The other thing which we mentioned is this first input delay. What's that?
So first input delay. So it's a measure of interactivity, and you may not even notice it when you load most pages, that as the page is still loading, you see the little wheel turning in your browser up in the tab or whatever device you have. There's usually some sort of loading that you see. While the page is still loading, oftentimes you can't do anything. If you're on your mobile and you try to scroll down, it might not work yet. So that is the first input delay, how long it takes for you to be able to do something like scroll or change a tab if there's like some dynamic tabs and actually interact with the page.
So I was on a website the other day, quite a big company as well. And as soon as you hit enter, and go, right, I'm going to go to this web page. It kind of like there was a pause, and then it was a blank screen, and then suddenly the entire page appeared in front of you after about 4 or 5 seconds. That's bad first input delay, right?
That is a very bad first input delay.
Okay, so we're talking about the amount of time it takes from kind of like saying, I want to go to this website, to be able to actually do something on the website. Would that be right?
That would be right.
Another measurement which Google are talking about is this cumulative layout shift, which is another really silly way of labeling something. So what does this actually mean to normal folk?
So a lot of performance optimization, and certainly what Google's tools tend to focus on, are the things your browser still has to do after the website loads. So you download the website, but then your browser is still doing something. That tends to be slow. A cumulative layout shift means that things are still shifting around after the page is loaded. And there's a handful of different things that can cause this. I think the most common would be, you know, we talked about script deference, which means you load the page and then you load all the scripts and the dynamic stuff that isn't that important to the way the page looks. But some scripts are important to how the page looks. A good example would be most front-end frameworks like Bootstrap or Foundation that are really popular with developers. If you load the page and then you load Bootstrap or any other what they call a front-end framework, your page is going to jump all over the place. And it might allow you to kind of hack the Google PageSpeed test so it looks like your site is faster. But it's not good, right? Like, it's not good that everything is just chaotic. You might try to click a button and all of a sudden it moves. And it's slower for your browser to be able to process that. So even though it was faster to download, it is worse to actually experience afterwards.
It seems quite common, this does. I go on a lot of pages on my phone that move around, and you just go to hit something and it's moved and you hit the wrong thing. And it's like, just... for the life of just behave. Why is this so popular? Why is it everywhere? Why does it seem to be everywhere?
Well, the big issue that I see with performance optimization is that it is as much a science as it is an art. It's actually possible to improve your Google PageSpeed score and make your site slower. These tools are general measures of things, but they're not perfect. And they've been telling people for a long time, defer everything, async everything. Hey, you have this script that is not deferred. Well, great. I guess I'll defer everything. And, you know, now I have another metric that breaks. That, in my experience, seems to be where it comes from most often, is people trying to over-engineer that experience. But it is very common.
And with this cumulative layout shift as well, we're also talking about maybe third-party widgets and advertising and things like that that may appear at a later time. So it could not necessarily be the stuff you're doing on your website. It might be something, somebody else's website somewhere else.
That's true. That's always a variable. And it's so common now to see a big brand website where they've got like 24 different SaaS vendors where they paste all these JavaScripts on their website and none of them are good. So when you actually go to optimize the website, everybody's code has flaws and you can't fix their code. All you can do is stop using it generally. Like, they're not going to change everything for you. It's like an opt-in box or maybe a form, or there's all sorts of things that people embed in their site now.
And I think we're coming back to the same thing of simplifying websites, do you think?
Yeah, so it's funny. We actually launched on our website a subdomain just to make a point in client conversations. It's fast.northcutt.com. And all we did, and I saw this coming up again and again, where people were bragging about their Google PageSpeed scores on websites that contain nothing. And it's like, yeah, well, good job. There's nothing there. So we just, if you go to fast.northcutt.com, we just type the word fast. That's it. And it's not even super like browser side caching or whatever optimized, but it's just one word. So guess what? It aces every single performance test that's out there. Like, it loads in like a millisecond. Like, I don't think we even use like the fastest available web server or anything of that nature. It doesn't matter. It's this issue where websites begin fast, like we're the ones who break them.
Yeah, you're right there, absolutely. Now, Google has a tool which is like a browser extension, which is called Lighthouse, I think, and you can measure your web page's performance. Can anybody use this, or is it worth just leaving that for an SEO person, a web developer to mess with?
Well, I'm a developer, so in my mind, yeah, sure, anyone can do this. I don't know. I think that there's some things in Lighthouse that are pretty straightforward. Like, hey, your images are massive, scale them down. If you're a designer, sure, that probably makes sense to you. But there are a lot of things there, too, that get very technical. And some of the items, even like senior developers I've encountered, just, what? Like, I've got to go do some reading like before I'm going to understand what they're talking about here. So there's quite a range in the output that I've seen from Lighthouse where I think some make sense and just some doesn't to people.
Do you think it's sort of like breeding a number chasing thing as well, that we're trying to chase numbers and that's it? We're not actually doing anything useful.
A little bit, yeah. You're not going to hit a perfect score certainly in a large organization. You might, if again, like you've got one word on your page and you know you're not doing design by committee. In my experience, that's not realistic most of the time. I think a healthier mindset is to compare who you want to beat on page one in your industry. And this is actually the mentality that we take into our consulting engagements at Northcutt is, well, let's begin with a competitive analysis on a top level of, you know, who do you want to be? And if we look at it through the major dimensions, right? Like in terms of links, like you may be a year behind these people in terms of content. Well, I know I can build like 10,000 more pages over the next 5 years for you. But you also have the technical piece of, hey, you know what? You have the fastest website in your industry. You're getting by. I don't think like you're like smashing into a brick wall with it. You might be able to eke out a little bonus if it were better, but you don't need it, right? Like it's not your biggest problem. And I think that's a healthy way to think about it, is set priorities based on how you benchmark yourself in the marketplace, as you know Google is, with the organic results. And if it looks like, hey, our website is 20 seconds slower than everybody, well, we should probably work on this. And we see that too, but it's a lot less common.
So if we've run this lighthouse thing and we get a score which basically says your website's rubbish, who do we badger to fix this? Do we need a technical SEO person, or do we need a web developer? I speak to web developers who, so you talk about this Core Web Vitals and they go, I don't know. And then and then the SEO person comes along and kind of like ruins the design of everybody's website and make, yeah, there's almost like a little fight going on. So who do we actually go to say, can you improve my website? Can you fix this for me?
Yeah. So I every time I see this come up, there's a little bit of kind of passing the potato around, right? Mm. Like who wants to own this? And the reality is it requires a lot of collaboration. There is no one person who can certainly solve everything. The bigger you get in large organizations, the more and more that's true. You might have a single line item that like five different people need to touch, in my experience. I do believe that it belongs as part of the SEO corpus that you're a good diagnostician and someone who's able to communicate these things to the people that resolve them. And that doesn't necessarily mean I have the ideal solution every time, but it at least means, okay, I understand the issue. These are some ways that I've seen it solved. It's up to you as a developer, as a systems administrator some of the time, as a network administrator some of the time, to resolve that. And it gets more niche the larger you get to, in bigger IT departments. We're seeing in some of our organizations now where one person oversees one domain registrar account, and it's, well, like you need to change this DNS setting for this to be a little bit faster. That's cool. That I had to talk to five different people to get to that person, and even that person was like, well, I'm not sure this is really my job. Eventually talked into it. But most of the SEO problem really exists in that problem-solving capacity, in my experience.
A lot of SEO problems in the past have usually been things that we can rectify reasonably easily, can't we? We can, you know, content-based problems. Links, for example, external links or internal linking and all these sorts of... These are things that can be changed quite easily. This new way of measuring websites, in a way, fundamentally can change the entire design of a website, can't it?
It can. So I'm of the opinion that it is getting easier. It's never been easy. I think it's been oversimplified like crazy.
Like
I look at like mainstream SEO tools like Moz, and I'm like, you guys forgot to put all the technical SEO stuff in. You're telling me I have broken links, but you're not diagnosing server issues. You're not diagnosing network issues. And they factor. And they're not like Google's going to penalize you if your website's only up 97% of the time. But Google's not going to be able to reach your site. Your users aren't going to be able to reach your site. Like, these are SEO problems in my mind. And they impact crawling and they impact all sorts of things. The solutions are getting simpler, though. So you divide up, I think, the technical problem in different roles of, you know, who owns it, like I mentioned. So developers, and, you know, they can be split front and back end now, or even, you know, specific nuance, like this person deals with this JavaScript library. You've got systems administrators, so who takes care of the server? And you've got network administrators. You've also got, I guess, the kind of the fourth boat of the IT web-facing department is the what I call like the domain administrator. And increasingly, who has access to Cloudflare? So much of this is becoming very, very streamlined through, I'm pretty much just going to say Cloudflare. AWS and Google Cloud Platform can do so many of the things that we like to see now, but they don't make it easy. And I've become, you know, I came from hosting too. Like my first company was a web hosting provider. And that's one reason that we like to go a lot more technical at Northcutt. We've got a couple other hosting veterans on our team too. this used to be a really complicated problem to solve, where say, okay, talk to your web host. Can they go into your configuration files? Can they reinstall some of your server software? Can they swap some things out? Can they upgrade PHP? Very few of those questions were answered with a yes for sure. Most people. Usually it's, we pay for some cheap web hosting, they can't help me. With Cloudflare, you've got what they call a global edge network, which acts as a layer that actually does just about everything right. And it's an evolution on this idea of a content delivery network, which was traditionally only for images and videos for the most part. So now so many of the things in that test were, say, are you using HTTP 2 or now actually HTTP 3?
Yeah.
Once I've enabled Cloudflare, just click the button. It's done. And, you know, in their interface, I've got 20, 30 buttons. Just install Cloudflare, turn everything on. Try it again. And that really does solve for the bulk of it, but it continues to be a challenge for sure.
Yeah, so we need so the advice kind of is to find a technical SEO and they can advise from there.
Yeah, like they still have a really important role. And I think the technical stuff matters more the larger you get, is how we frame it too. You know, talking about how we begin each engagement with big picture, the biggest mistake I see any SEO make is they get in the weeds too fast. We see it in interviews a lot, like strategists are like, how do you do SEO? How do you approach this problem from the ground up? And if they start with, well, I open up a tool and I look at something, it's like, well, no, like you're getting too gritty too fast. A small website, content and links really are usually enough, right? Like we haven't completely ruined our WordPress installation with complicated things. Fine. And we set the ratio as site scale, where if this is a giant e-commerce site at like a Fortune 50, I'm sure they've ruined everything. We need to focus the bulk of our attention on technical. And if they already have a lot of traffic, well, aside from it not being completely broken, like, you know, this loads in 60 seconds, or we told Google to stay out of half our website, the gains from technical SEO are usually very incremental, right? It's like, well, I can improve what I've got by 2%, 3%. If we get approached by a startup, they're like, well, that's cool, we're firing you guys. That's not what we wanted at all.
Yeah.
If we get approached by, you know, a bigger brand, and we work with some like McDonald's, Saba Mattress, and some big companies, 2% is like many people's jobs, right?
Sure.
It's like, let's fix that and let's make that a main focus.
So yeah, I think you're right there. I think for smaller brands, smaller companies, we can spend a little bit too much time on this, can't we? And we can sort of like say, oh, I've managed to scrape off a tenth of a second loading this JavaScript file, but the website is just for the local accountants and it's four pages. Spending all that time doing that just didn't matter at all, did it? Okay. Corey, where can we find you? Where's your website? What are your social media bits if we want to connect and get in touch?
Sure. Our agency is northcut.com. You can email me at corey@northcut.com, C-O-R-E-Y. Also on Twitter at corey_northcut.
Fantastic, Corey. Thanks. Thanks for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
Thanks again to Corey for his time. If you've enjoyed this episode, then you can subscribe for more on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify and Amazon and Google Podcasts, your favorite podcast player. It's everywhere. All you have to do is search for Not Another Marketing Podcast. Thanks for listening.